Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side.
Shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
When the ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts for this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
I'm Craig.
Please stay calm. The room is not actually stretching. Go ahead and pull down on those safety bars because we won't be doing that for you. Gentlemen, it's Monday. How are we doing as we start the week?
Fantastic.
Oh, it's a Monday.
Well, there's two opposite ends of the spectrum for you. You can choose to go with one of those or somewhere in between. We are glad that you have chosen to join us for this very special episode, this milestone episode, you could say.
What number?
This is episode number 23 today, Epcot Table Service Dining Ranked. Last week.
23. Sorry.
Yes, you're still off on the Taylor Swift song.
Taylor Swift is
22.
Left the building.
Derek, what did we talk about on last week's show?
Which show from last week?
Well, last Monday's show.
You didn't say that. I was just checking. We talked about Magic Kingdom table service restaurants, and we ranked those, and obviously Cinderella's Royal Table came out number one.
It was the winner. There were eight restaurants there, but Craig, what are we talking about today?
Well, I wanted to say before we got into today's how well Thursday went. I thought Thursday episode with Nick went really well. I appreciate him being on and his recent trip rundowns, because he had been a few times, but we appreciate him being on. Very, very knowledgeable, and really, I thought a great show.
Oh, yeah. We love Nick and are appreciative of him and certainly glad to hear about his trip. What are we talking about today, Craig?
Today, we're going to go get on the monorail and ride over to Epcot. And at Epcot, then we're going to see what they've got as far as table service, and we're going to rank those from in the Future World and in World Showcase. And we're going to see what we can eat and rank those from, is it 17 down?
Yes.
Are we going to rank? Is Future World going to have its own separate ranking?
No.
Just number one.
Because there's only like two. Yeah. There are there are 17 table service options at Epcot as opposed to only eight at the Magic Kingdom. So this is going to get a little interesting, I think.
Derek, how are we going to decide this?
I think, again, it's going to be a tables, ladders, and chairs match.
Derek is wanting us to fight. I think, and his whole purpose for that is to get rid of me.
There's not enough room in here.
Derek is tired of my alliteration and my interrupting, and so he's using this as a way to get me out of the studio.
We can't even get up and walk around, much less fight in this room.
Makes it all the more volatile.
We do have lots of equipment we can use for the ladders, chairs, and tables.
It's a shoots and ladders match!
Hey, I got another idea. Why don't we just go around the table again, like we did last time, and rank
them? Do it like we did last week?
Yeah.
That sounds good. That sounds reasonable.
You okay with that, Derek?
Well, if we gotta...
We are going to do what we did last week. We'll start at the bottom and work our way up. And let's preface this by saying a lot of these restaurants, none of us have eaten at. Some of them we barely know how to pronounce. But we're going to do our best to, again, help you on this carousel of process. If you're looking to dine at Epcot, there are so many different options. The goal here is to just shed some light on some of the options that you have.
And honestly, it is based upon your preference. You may love Chinese food, or you may love Mexican food. And those are probably going to be higher on your list than maybe ours are. But we've ate at a lot of the ones everybody eats at that are really popular, the good ones, and we'll rank those probably closer to the top, and you probably would too. Derek is shaking his head no, but the rest of us, Matthew and I will rank it that way, but we'll listen to it and we'll go from there. If he ranks like Coral Reef number 17 or Le Cellier number 7, you know, Derek may do that.
You never know with Derek.
And we can't do anything about it.
He's the wild card, the X factor.
We can't do anything about that if he does. Do we want to start with Derek again?
Now, twist we're going to start, we're going to do this time. If you listen to Enchanted Tiki Talk, great podcast, one game they tend to play is they kind of read off restaurant menus, and then people have to guess what restaurant it is. We're going to change it up just a little bit. When we get ready to name a restaurant, we're going to read the Disney World description of that restaurant, and we're going to see if each other can guess. Just a little fun addition to what we're doing. All right, here we go, starting at number 17. And again, as we said with Magic Kingdom, just because we rank them low doesn't mean that you won't like them. And I do want to encourage everyone, even if you're not an adventurous eater, Epcot is a good place to do that. But at the same time, we know you're spending a lot of money for these meals, so you want to kind of have an idea of what to expect. So here we go, number 17. Simmer your senses in the flavors of the Mediterranean as you unwind in the ambiance of a picturesque waterfront view. Guys, what restaurant am I talking about? Number 17.
Mediterranean?
It's got to be Restaurant Marrakesh.
No.
You wouldn't think you would rank that one down there.
Waterfront view.
Oh, I didn't.
Not San Angel.
No.
Not San Angel.
Same country.
Yeah, I meant, but it's not. It's not.
It is Spice Road Table.
Okay, that's what I wondered.
Spice Road Table in. Now, this is like one of the newest restaurants in Epcot. I'm not sure why they added it. Again, it is Mediterranean cuisine. It's set in Morocco. It's right there on the water. I've read some reviews. I've never really been tempted to dine there just because I never see people eating there. But for me personally, I'm just going to walk across and go to Tangerine Cafe. Spice Road Table, I think it's unnecessary, but that's just my opinion. It's easy to get a reservation. I guess we can say that about it. It does have a pretty view over the water. But from the pictures I've seen, the reading over the menu, it's not something that I'm just going to... I don't think you need to be itching to reserve if you go to Epcot. Guys, any thoughts?
I would have this higher, just based on the menu.
You like the looks of the menu?
I do. I think I would give it a go.
Well, next time, Derek.
Hey, it's not my choice, so.
Number 16, we're going to head down the table to Craig Shelton. Craig?
It's tough because as I'm sitting here looking at the list, there's a lot of restaurants right there together that I really enjoy, and I've ate it more than I thought I had ate at.
And that's what's tough, too, is I will eat probably eventually at Spice Road Table. I don't think any of these are bad choices, but we have to rank them somewhere.
Stained glass chandeliers bathe diners in a warm, dim glow, all while intricate tile mosaics evoke timeless majesty. Select an a la carte favorite, or partake in a culinary adventure with feast featuring hearty meats, Moroccan pastries, and more.
Well, Derek, what is it?
It's got to be Restaurant Marrakesh.
Poor Morocco. It got the last two spots.
Well, we ate there before.
Have you eaten?
We all ate there, didn't we?
We ate at Tangerine Cafe.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay. The menu is not, again, I think it's all depending on what you enjoy, and it's not one of the tops on mine. Like, I was looking at one of the Chinese restaurants, and I love Chinese, so it's hard for me to rank that low. So it's just not a favorite of mine. It may be somebody's favorite out there, and they may rank that a lot higher. But for me, Marrakesh, that's just kind of where I'm going to rank it, is number 16, because it's just not high on my list.
Derek, what is he forgetting that they have there?
I can't remember.
Belly dancers.
Oh. Yep, they're still 16.
They're still 16. It doesn't do it for you, huh?
That's why I haven't been there.
I want to try.
I thought you worked there, Derek.
I mean, it's... As much as I love Tangerine Cafe, I think Restaurant Marrakesh is on my to-do list because I like that Moroccan cuisine. Mm-hmm. And
like I said, it's all preference of taste, and it's not one of my
top. Morocco takes the last two slots.
I'm sorry. We're sorry, Morocco.
But I think the quick service there for me is very high.
Yeah, yeah.
The
Schwarmer.
Yeah, we'll get to the quick service rankings in a future episode. Derek, number 15.
Okay, number 15 is going to be my lowest ranking available here. It says, delight in the culture and flavors of a country with a renowned chef, and he has shared these with the world for decades. I'm not saying any words to give this away. Here you'll discover a focused wine list, inventive twist on traditional country dinner, and breathtaking views of world showcase. This is the perfect place to celebrate a special occasion or simply savor delectable cuisine in a serene setting.
Well, he did a good job of not giving away.
Wow.
Do you have a guess?
I was going to say Wolfgang Puck's, but that's...
There, you can find that in Disney Springs. Craig, do you have a guess?
It's a tough one.
Let me think. I'm going to probably go with Nine Dragons.
I'm going to say Monsieur Paul.
Oh, ding, ding.
All right, Monsieur Paul.
Oh, that makes sense.
Now, why did you rank that so low?
I picked this one because I haven't dined here.
Poor old Paul.
But I have dined at the other French restaurant, and it is quite good. So I couldn't see. I don't see me going picking this one over Le Chef's.
Uh-huh.
So that's basically why I picked it.
And it's pricey, I believe.
It is. It's a signature dining.
Yeah, so it's a two-table service credit meal.
On Craig's dining plan.
So, yeah, it's one of the higher-end signature dining, which means it probably does have good food, but it's not just one that jumps to mind, I don't think, when you think of Epcot dining. Number 14, it's my turn. Discover vibrant flavors from regions around this country as you dine under colorful globe lamps and star lanterns. Certain items are made house-made each day and prepared with chipotle and serrano peppers, mangoes, and more. That may give it away. What do you think it is?
That would be, Senegal.
That is incorrect.
Ooh.
It'd be a Mexican.
It is.
La Hacienda?
La Hacienda de San Angel.
Well, that's what I was talking about. I just didn't say La Hacienda.
Well, no, they're two different ones.
I know. but they're not both. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
You know, this, I don't think, this has great views of World Showcase, especially over the water, especially if you're there during Illuminations, and I'm sure the cuisine is good. But I can just go to the quick service for lunch. This is a dinner only, but you can go to the quick service for lunch and get the same cuisine for a much cheaper price.
I think that's what threw me off, because I've never known that to be a table service. I've always known it to be a quick service.
It is.
Because we've always ate there for quick service.
Which they do have. They have the quick service at night, too, but the inside portion transforms into a table service.
Okay.
So I had to rank something else.
Good
so.
Food, though.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, you hate to rank these low, yeah. but... That just means that the other ones are even better. So, Craig, what do you have for lucky number 13?
Man, that's what it just hit me. I'm next.
Gotta be ready.
Number 13 reads like this. Relax in an old world ambience as you enjoy platters of chicken, fish, handmade pasta, lasagna, and more. On the outside patio or in the airy dining room amid murals of ancient Rome and sparkling chandeliers, relish the rich, textured flavors of authentic Italian... Oh!
Derek, I think you ate here on your most recent trip.
I believe I did.
And it is?
Tutto Italia.
And I have to say, I ranked it there because I've never ate there. But it would not be my top Italian restaurant. Now, is this where Clint said he ate as well?
Yes. Okay. Clint was a big fan of Tutto Italia.
Yeah, and see, that's why I hate to rank it there, but I've never ate there. And it probably, right now, it wouldn't rank above my other Italian place. So that's why I had to kind of go there.
I mean, you can't go wrong with Epcot. I mean, as we continue to talk about this, there's so many options and so many different...
And Derek, you may talk more about it right now since you just ate there. I mean,
it was I enjoyed it. As I said in our little review we did, it was the I think we talked about it. I think it did. It had a really good appetizer, an okay
main dish,
and I don't think we got dessert.
But as you said, it was not your top Italian restaurant either.
I wouldn't put it above the other,
right?
The other one that I won't mention right now in case Matthew wants to try and take it off.
I hope not.
Number 12, Derek?
Number 12. This one's going to be an easy one. Much unlike, and this will be unpopular to a lot of people. Her Highness the Queen is holding a feast in honor of the world's best loved storybook princesses. Go ahead.
Eckershish.
I've not heard good things about this buffet and not really being interested in all the princesses. If it had good food, I'd be more inclined to go there, but I've heard mixed bag on it. So
it's interesting since you pretty much made Cinderella's Royal Table first, and this is a similar dining experience.
But it is the food gave it the nod.
Craig, you have eaten at Eckershish, correct?
I have ate there, and I would rank it higher simply for the interaction with the princesses. If you can't or don't want to spend the extra food credits for Cinderella's Royal Table, then Eckershish is probably the route to go. Again, the food is authentic for Norway?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not the greatest food, and I'll say that. But as far as your interactions with princesses, it's a... If you can't get the Royal Table, it's a good backup.
Our friends the Garlands actually went there a few weeks ago, and they were not fans of the food. But it is one of the best values on the dining plan for a single table service credit meal. So,
and you're not going there, honestly, for the food. I mean, it may be something you love and the taste you love, but I think you're actually going there for the princesses.
Yeah.
So that's the interaction.
If I'm going to eat somewhere, I'm going for the food.
I know that, but if... Let's say
you are.
What I'm trying to emphasize is if you can't get in the Royal Table because it's booked, this is a good standby. And you're not planning on going there for the food and go, man, that food was... You're going there for the princesses.
And it's not easy, but it's a lot easier to get a reservation there. Because they have breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Right.
Number 11. Enjoy intimate dining and spectacular views. Dive into ocean fresh specialties from around the globe or classic gourmet favorites.
Around the globe?
That's got to be Coral Reef.
It is Coral Reef. Number 11, Coral Reef. I remember Sissy and I dined there on our first trip. It was actually our first table service meal. We just wanted to eat there because, you know, Full House and Boy Meets World ate there. But you eat there in front of the aquarium. It's got great views. The food is, you know, it's seafood, but nothing that really stood out to us. But, you know, it's a great atmosphere. You're sitting there next to that huge aquarium. But, again, if you don't have a table next to the aquarium, it kind of takes away from the atmosphere. So, Craig, I know you've eaten there fairly recently.
Our last trip we ate there, and it's if you love seafood, it's good. The desserts are good. You do get to watch, most time when we're there, they're feeding the fish or whatever. There's divers in there. It's not, per se, more intimate because you feel like you're eating with everybody sitting around there. But it's good food.
Did you have the charbroiled octopus or sumptuous crispy calamari?
Actually, I think we did have octopus. We sampled that, and it was not that bad. I'm a big calamari fan, so I love the calamari, but we did try the octopus, I think, and it was okay.
Derek, you eating at Coral Reef?
I have. We ate there for the candlelight processional dining package, and it was you know, whatever that tastes like.
Tastes delicious.
It is if you're a seafood fan, I think it's for you. If not, you're not going to be.
I
do
love
have some
seafood.
Steak there, I think, too.
But it's not. I wasn't overly impressed.
Right. There's better places for seafood.
We have reached the top 10. Craig, what is your number 10?
Number 10. Created by a stained glass etching, diners can feast on such favorites as honey sesame chicken, peppery shrimp, and fried rice. Request a table at one of the windows for a sweeping view of the World Showcase Lagoon Promenade.
Nine Dragons.
It is. I have actually ate at Nine Dragons. It was really good Chinese food, but it is expensive. To tell a quick story, the first time we ever went, we were wanting Chinese, and we did not realize there was a quick service right around the corner, so we went to Nine Dragons. It was a very expensive meal, very good meal, but we didn't realize we'd probably get about the same thing just right around the corner at a quick service. But like I said, it's in my top 10. I really enjoy eating Chinese, so it was, and it's a very high-end Chinese restaurant.
I think, too, in the grand scope, like if you're looking for a sit-down meal in World Showcase, it's one of the cheaper options. I know for the Candlelight Processional, when I was looking for checking package price for that, it was like maybe the cheapest option in Epcot.
Really?
I know.
Maybe it was just the first time we went, so it was a shocker to me.
Sticker shock, yes. Yeah. I know our friend Josh at EZWW, he's a big fan of Nine Dragons. Mm-hmm. And
I like it.
But, you know, a lot of people sometimes are kind of down on it, but I want to go there.
That's funny you say that, though, about the price, because for us, it was like, wow, that was expensive. Yeah. But it was the first time we'd been at Disney, so, and I've been there since, so if I went back now, I'd probably go, man, that's pretty cheap.
Right. Number 9.
All right, number 9 is going to be another, probably should be pretty easy. Be transported into a true cultural experience through the harmony and traditional country food and hospitality. Enjoy the vibrant feel of modern city in this country as you watch our talented food from this country chef prepare their works of culinary art. As dramatic floor-to-ceiling windows overlook World Showcase Lagoon.
Chef's difference?
I think it's Teppanito.
It is not.
Oh, no.
Either one?
Nope.
Tokyo Dining.
Tokyo Dining.
Oh, that was my next one. Have you eaten at Tokyo Dining?
I have not.
I have not either.
I have not either.
Well, that's something for us to try.
not much to say about that.
Sounds very good from the way you described it.
I mean, place we haven't eaten and made it all the way into the top 10. So
I think we forgot about it.
Tokyo Dining. I think it gets forgotten because there are other options in Japan. Anything else you want to say about that, Derek?
I can't think of anything.
Well, number 9, Tokyo Dining. I'm ready for number 8. Here it is. Savor tender steaks, fresh seafood, and other regional cuisine inspired by the provinces of this country. Under sweeping stone arches and flickering candle sconks, this sizzling place recalls the wine places. What do you think it is?
Go ahead, Craig.
No, you go ahead.
Le Cellier.
It is Le Cellier. I'm trying not to say cellar. I have not been to Le Cellier. I know you have, Derek. It just seems really pricey.
It is.
And it's kind of hard to get a reservation there. And nothing really calls to me. But at the same time, I know it's got good food, which is why I've ranked it so high at number 8.
It is. I think this is a fair spot for it. It's quite good, but at the same time, it is quite pricey.
Is it worth 2 table service credits?
I would do it once. Yeah. That's why we haven't been back.
Yeah,
I would do it once at the price it's at, and then just to experience it. It's pretty cramped in there. It's kind of like San Angel, just kind of cramped, and they really squeeze a lot of people in there. I think it'd be a little better. I could understand the 2 table service credits if they took out maybe 20% of the seating.
Right.
I think
it's a little more intimate.
Absolutely. And who doesn't love intimacy?
Exactly. Number 7. Getting down to the nitty gritty here.
Enjoy an ever changing array of sights and tastes too as you slowly turn around the rotating restaurant.
Oh,
Garden,
the Garden Grill.
We've stopped reading it in a good way. Craig just brought it back.
I think
Garden Grill.
Garden Grill. I've never ate there. I mean, we've ate at Sunshine Seasons, but I've never ate at Garden Grill. Mm-hmm. It's just not something that, man, I've got to eat there. It just doesn't. Right. The menu just doesn't reach out and grab me. It is a neat setting, how it does rotate around. You can see the living with the land, but I'm just not crazy about going there. So I'm honestly surprised it made it this far with me. I just kind of looked over it, but it's just nothing that jumps out. There's better place to eat around World Showcase than to go there is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm like you. I'm kind of surprised the buffet has made it this far into the list.
But that is a character meal.
It is a character
meal. So that will rank higher on some people than others.
We ate there on a recent trip. We love Garden Grill. It's one of those buffets where they bring you the food.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Chippendale, which I think that's I don't know if there are any other character meals, but they're at that one. You got Farmer Mickey. You've got Pluto. It rotates around Living with the Land, which is one of our favorite rides. It's fairly inexpensive compared to some other character meals. It's a good table service credit, though. But the food is very fresh. A lot of it's prepared there in the Land Pavilion.
Right.
It's got a great salad. It's got a good dessert. We had roast beef. We took the roast beef and put it on the mac and cheese, and it took us back to Friar's Nook, Derek. But they had turkey and dressing, a ton of food. And I know our friend Nick ate there for breakfast, mm-hmm. and he was big on the tater barrels, right?
Right, right.
So for me, I'd probably put Garden Grill personally and up in the top 4 or 5 at Epcot. We enjoy it. I recommend giving it a try. I think you would like
and
that.
And I will, but like I said, it's just nothing that I go, man, that I've got to go there.
Right.
So,
well, when you have World Showcase, you know, we've named the two that are in Future World, Garden Grill and Coral Reef. When you've got World Showcase,
right,
it's almost like a cheat to go
right
to something that isn't adventurous.
Right.
So number 7, Garden Grill.
Number 6, and I'm kind of surprised that this one's gotten this far, but that's me. Okay, at number 6, I have South of the Border specialties are served with old world hospitality in this intimate twilight setting.
That is San Angel Inn.
Is it San Angel or San Angel?
It depends on what part of the South you come from.
Yeah.
That's right.
So why is it? Well, it made it to number 6.
Have you
eaten there?
No.
Craig has.
Thankfully, yeah. I have no interest in it.
Oh, it's
number 6.
I don't.
I think I would rank it there in that area because I think it's a neat setting. The food is authentic Mexican. I really enjoyed it. My family enjoyed it. It is kind of cramped in there.
It is. I know looking at it from Grand Fiesta Tour, it looks extremely crowded.
Yeah, it is pretty tight. But again, good food, and I'd probably put it in the top 10 for sure.
I'm a big fan of any meal that's going to transport me to a different place, and that makes you think you're sitting under the stars and there's a boat ride going by. I think the atmosphere is awesome.
The sky looks actually like a sky.
It's one of my to-dos at Epcot.
I think you'd be pleased. I'd rank it right in there, Derek.
Okay.
I think you did good.
Number 5, and I'm surprised this one has made it as long as it has. This family-friendly place features traditional favorites, waterfront dining, and lively evening entertainment. Delight in such specialties as fish and chips, bangers and mash, vegetable cottage pie, and more.
Rose and Crown.
It is the Rose and Crown at number 5, which is kind of surprising. This is I've been wanting to eat there for some time. You know, Nick, hearing his positive reviews and seeing the Scotch egg, I really want to try the Scotch egg.
It's really good.
I know you've been there, Derek. You can say a little more about Rose and Crown.
I think number 5 is about where it belongs. Maybe 4, 5, 6, I think, in that general area. It's very good. The, like you said, the Scotch egg is, it's expensive for what it is, but it's still very good. And the bangers and mash are highly recommended.
I just like saying bangers and mash, so I think that's why I would like to eat there.
You enjoy saying it? I'm not.
my wife is a huge fish and chips person, so I think she would enjoy eating there. We ate there at the quick service, but it, I mean, same
Yorkshire. Yeah. Craig, or rather Nick, posted some pictures on his Facebook, and it looked really good. Looked really good. Craig, you got number four ready?
I am ready with number four. Be transported to the heart of this place at this charming cafe. With its high ceilings, intricate mosaic flooring, and expansive windows looking out onto the promenade, this bright and airy restaurant features innovative this country cuisine. Celebrating fresh and simple ingredients, the menu changes seasonally but may include such delicacies as beef tenderloin, classic onion soup, and roasted duck with cherries.
I think the best part of this has been trying not to give away the restaurant. Is that Chef's de France?
That would be Chef's de France.
Have you been? Has anybody been there?
Derek has.
I have.
Derek's been to most of these. Derek, tell us about Chef's de France.
It is very good. It seemed like we didn't eat in the main part of the building. We ate kind of in a little outdoor wing. There's the big windows that you can see inside from the World Showcase, and we got to eat in there, and it was perfect. Not too cramped. You could still talk to one another without yelling and all, and the food was really pretty good. So I think that I like where it's at in the list. It's highly recommended for me.
All right, so Matthew, could we right here let Derek read off everything we've said so far?
Yeah,
so
run us down before we get into the top three.
Okay, at 17, we've got Spice Road Table. 16, Restaurant Marrakesh. 15, Monsieur Paul. 14, La Hacienda. 13, Tutto Italia. 12, Acre Shoes. 11, Coral Reef. 10, Nine Dragons. 9, Tokyo Dining. 8, Le Cellier. 7, The Garden Grill. Number 6, San Angel. 5, Rose and Crown. And 4, Chefs de France.
I think we missed a golden opportunity to put Nine Dragons at number 9. But that's just
we did.
Can we redo the list?
You know, looking over this list of number 17, I've just figured it up. I've only eaten at 5 of these 17 restaurants. I have a lot of work to do.
I've ate a lot more than I thought I'd have had.
I think so. Maybe you two can figure out how many of these you've eaten at. Derek, number 3. We were in the top 3. This is the creme de la creme.
So once again, like the previous episode, I do not get a choice.
That's true. What do you got, Derek?
At number 3, we have a chance to celebrate authentic country cuisine during an exciting dining experience that's part meal, part show, and the communal ritual of style of cooking. Skillful chefs chop and stir fry dishes on grills at your table.
Huh.
Could that be Teppanito?
It could. Yes, it is.
Have you all eaten there?
I have not, but it kind of stirs my interest since it's hibachi.
Who doesn't love a good hibachi?
I know, but with that said, if you've done hibachi, is it the same? See what I'm saying?
We ate there on our first trip. Back in 2012, because Sissy and I are fans of any hibachi grill. And I mean, it was outstanding. The food quality was great. It was a lot of fun. Nothing too different from your average hibachi meal. But again, the food is great. You can't go wrong. It's a lot of food, and it's in Disney World. And I remember they sat us with some other people that were celebrating something, and you know, you're able to kind of make some new friends through those community dining experiences.
Well, and with that said, it may bump that higher because it's hibachi and people. Well, I've had hibachi before, so it may bump into the top 10 rather than top 3. So,
it's one of the safer bets, I think, for people who don't have as adventurous of a palate.
I was about to say,
as others.
Always with hibachi, people can get chicken and be okay.
Yeah,
or steak. You got your choice. Good point.
I would probably switch this with Le Cellier, honestly. At number 8. Yep.
Well.
But that's
your
nothing
call.
To do
well,
now.
And you've ate it both. Well, no, you haven't ate this one.
No.
Okay, Matthew has. Okay.
Do they have yum yum sauce?
I believe so.
Do they? Because not all hibachis have the yum yum.
From what
sauce,
I recall, they did.
Not all hibachis are created.
And now I get to pick number 2 and number 1.
Yeah,
really.
Thank you.
So number 2, here we go.
Just act like I get to pick number 1.
Okay. Discover authentic Italian cooking. including hearty pastas, fresh salads, and pizzas perfected in wood-burning ovens.
Boy, I don't know. That's tough. Would it be Via Napoli?
It is Via Napoli, which I know all of us have eaten at.
Many times.
And we are all big fans.
Derek got me on the Via Napoli train. I mean, it's a must-do every time we go now.
Best pizza on property to me.
And it's funny, the best
pizza. But I haven't had Blaze.
I think it's still going to be the best pizza.
The best pizza, even better than Pizza Rizzo, it's the best. Best pizza, and it's just the four cheese.
The quattro fromage.
Yeah. Their lasagna is good. Yeah. I mean, I've had other things, too.
Yep. They're very authentic. And it's a good price, too. If you get one of those large pizzas and split the cost. Not really a good credit on the dining plan always, but it's a good value for what you're getting, especially if you get one of those large pizzas and split it.
And again, with all the places in World Showcase, it is authentic food. I mean, it's just as they would do it in Italy. So it's a good experience.
Well, Craig, that leaves you with number one.
Okay, let me see, guys.
Is this a surprise?
I think kind of in my mind, this was kind of number one the whole time.
Was it? How do you guys know what it is? I don't know what it is yet.
Well, we got just guessing.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe, do you need to read the...
I may surprise you.
I can read minds. I'm psychedelic.
Be transported to a traditional Bavarian village as you feast on this place's fare to the oompa beat of a lively band. At communal... this name style tables enjoy such rotating buffet selections as bratwurst, rotisserie chicken, pork schnitzel, and variety of salads. Save room for this place's cheesecake and pulled apple strudel made fresh daily. Polka on down the dance floor or simply relax.
He just keeps on reading.
Guys, what do you think it is?
Tutto Italia.
Oh, wrong. Bratwurst.
Electric Umbrella. is it Beer Garden?
It is Beer Garden.
Number one in the graveyard. Honestly, it's kind of surprising to me. I enjoy it. I think it's a definite top five.
I think so.
I'm surprised it finished first, but I'm not going to argue it.
It is definitely all... I mean, you will leave there full.
And it's a buffet. That's what's blowing my mind.
Right.
That a buffet got number one?
Well, I think,
how did I allow that to happen?
Would you guys agree that the entertainment adds to it?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I mean, you're paying for a dinner and a show.
Right.
I mean, anywhere else on property.
It's two credits.
Hoop-de-doo review, Mickey's Backyard Barbecue, Aloha dinner show. I mean, it's two dining credits and it's significantly more expensive. And it takes us much longer time. Now, this isn't the elaborate show that those are, but man, those musicians and those entertainers. And you're talking, it's a 15 or 20 minute show. They do it every hour. Mm-hmm. But, oh, man, we loved it. I know we went there with your family, Craig, a couple of years ago. And I went there with Derek's family the first time we went. We've been there a couple times. And we sat down close to the stage. And, man, it was awesome. And the food, love the food. You mentioned the cheesecake. The cheesecake is phenomenal. But I'm a big schnitzel and bratwurst fan. And you can get all you want.
If you like German food, it is a must. Again, this goes without saying, but it is authentic. I mean, the food is just like you would get in Germany. So.
And Rachel is not a big fan of German food, and she still enjoyed it.
Yeah,
so they have a few things that are not typically.
If nothing else, just get some of those soft pretzels and dip them in the cheese soup they have. I mean, that is.
Let me say this too: for our first time travelers that have not gone to Disney, you're still listening to this, trying to get some ideas. The cast members in each country are actually from the country.
Yes.
In most cases.
Total authenticity.
Yeah. So it's neat to see their name, see where they're from, but that's where you get that authenticity as well. So it's kind of a neat experience if you've never done that.
And Beer Garden, the price, I mean, it's pricey. It's a buffet, but it's one of the less expensive options, especially when you look at buffets across Walt Disney World property.
And especially for dinner shows.
Yes.
I think it's a
for the very candlelight processional.
Yes, a very good value on any of the dinner shows.
Especially if you go at lunch. Mm-hmm. Now, the downside to going at lunch, I don't think they have the Oompa Band at lunch. So it may be cheaper, but I think it's worth going at dinner and having the entertainment too.
Derek, read off the top 10 one more time, how we did there.
Top 10. Number 10, Nine Dragons. Number 9, Tokyo Dining. Number 8, Le Cellier. Number 7, Garden Grill. Number 6, San Angel. Number 5, Rose and Crown. Number 4, Chefs de France. Number 3, Tepaneto. Number 2, Via Napoli. Number 1, Beer Garden.
I think it's a good solid list.
I think so. And as same thing with Magic Kingdom, you could probably interchange the top 3, top 4 and be okay.
But what I love about Epcot is there's always an opportunity to try new dining experience. Beer Garden is my favorite at Epcot, but I don't plan to go there the next time.
Mm-hmm.
I go. I want to go to a Rose and Crown or a Chef's de France, something new, maybe even a Spice Road Table, which was ranked dead last. But Epcot is the pinnacle of Disney dining in a number of ways.
And just like we did at Magic Kingdom, are there any that need to be done at the 180-day mark? I would say Le Cellier. And maybe Garden Grill.
I think the sooner...
Garden Grill or Acre Shoes.
The sooner you can get Acre Shoes...
Just strictly because of the characters.
Otherwise, I can't think of any that are that difficult. And that's the beauty. There's so many options, even the day of. You're walking around at lunchtime, you're thinking, hey, we want to have a sit-down meal tonight. You can get on the app and find a number of options, typically.
Right, and you've got 17 sit-downs, whereas you've probably got at least that many more... Table service,
right?
Quick service, a
lot of options.
So, if you go during a festival time, there's all the food booths. So, you're really racked up with food when it comes to Epcot. And
well, guys, this has been fun. I think hopefully over the last couple of weeks, we've given the listeners a good idea of maybe where to make their dining reservations at Magic Kingdom and Epcot. And pretty soon we'll be covering Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom, kind of in a combo episode there. Yeah. So, Craig, Derek, anything else before we do? Grinning greatness.
I'm ready for the question. Bring it.
I am ready.
Craig has the question.
My question is, we talked about in the last episode around the monorail loop. Where would you want to eat? Mine is, as far as any resorts, what would be your top place to eat?
Table service. Any resort. Are we taking
outside?
Any other restaurant within any resort. I'm going to say, guys, my favorite place to eat at that I really enjoyed. I've got two or three, but really probably the top one would be the Hoop to Do Review.
Good for you.
I really enjoyed it. The show itself is phenomenal, but the food is...
More chicken.
Goodness.
Strawberry shortcake.
You get so much food. It's probably my top one, my favorite one, just because. Now, it is two credits for table service, but it's worth it. And if you've not been, you need to take your family because it's really a good show. Who's next?
I'll go next. I've got, can I do one I've eaten at and one I haven't eaten at?
Yeah, go ahead and take as many of mine as possible.
Go ahead.
We'll do what?
Take as many of mine as possible.
No. My top that I've eaten at another resort is going to be Boat Rites. I really think it's a hidden gem over at Port Orleans Riverside.
You would encourage me to try that on my next trip?
I would. Okay. I would. I'd really enjoy it. I love they've kind of got that bayou menu and it's really good. But the one that I haven't been to, I really want to try Olivia's
at Old Key West.
So,
I've heard good things about
I've heard lots of good things about it, and so that's one that's on my list. What about you, Matthew?
For me, I am going to steal an answer from our good friend Josh and say Sanaa over at Animal Kingdom Lodge Jumbo House. We had lunch there and had the bread service, had some tandoori chicken. Right outside the windows, you're looking at animals, and it gives you a reason to go over to Animal Kingdom Lodge. Josh, I think, put a post about this just a couple weeks ago. But, yeah, Sanaa is awesome. Food was great. The atmosphere was great. Very relaxing. So, kind of off the beaten path. One that I haven't eaten at, Derek?
Let's hear it.
Shula's. No, I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't give any more thought to it.
Bet it's at Disney Springs.
No.
Well, it's supposed to be resort.
And honestly, this would probably be a podcast within itself, talking about some of these, because there's so many now that I start thinking that we've ate at or we haven't, but at different resorts. I really like Whispering Canyon because the food's good. The atmosphere is really, really fun. But again, I think there's enough for us to probably do a whole show on this as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Guys, I think that does it. Good show. Good times. Thank you again for listening.
At all the places where you've gone, have you had cabbage before?
Oh, yes, I have not. Well, I'm sure I've had cabbage in something. Maybe an egg roll or
egg roll or your sauerkraut is cabbage.
Yeah, that's we've had beer garden. That's why we put it number one. The cabbage was calling us.
But thank goodness there was no diesel.
Cabbage is a calling.
Yeah. Thank you again for listening. As always, we encourage you to share the Grim Grinning Guys with your friends, family, neighbors, and loved ones.
Hey, just as we did on the previous episode, as far as our list, tell us your list. If you disagree with the 17 we listed, tell us, email us, or just say it. Tell us on Twitter. We'll probably ask that out this week on Twitter and Facebook.
Give us your top five. Top five Epcot table service.
Or if we listed one that's 12 or 13, you think it'll all be in the top 10, tell us that. I mean, again, I think it's based on taste.
Feel free to criticize.
We are open for friendly criticism.
But be sure that whatever you do, as you leave,
beware the hitchhiking ghosts.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
I really like Whispering Pines. I mean, it's Whispering Canyon. I really like Whispering Canyon. Whispering Pines, I think, is a nursing home. greeted by a stunning glass etching, diners can...
Diners?